Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The star led the wise men to Jesus, the Savior of the world. The light guided them to the one who is the light of the world. God gave them guidance, and these men were wise enough and humble enough and determined enough to follow the star.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. The excitement of Christmas has been building this week as we've been exploring different aspects of the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus. Today, we're thinking of the wise men following the wondrous star to Jesus. Are you a seeker of truth? Let's join Pastor John Monroe as he explains the important message this familiar story holds for each one of us. His message is titled, The Star.
The story of Christmas would be inconceivable without stars. Today we're going to consider the star that led the wise men to Jesus. I'm fascinated by the stars. And as well as reminding us of the vastness of the universe, the stars remind us of the utter impossibility of reaching these stars by ourselves. If the stars are so far away from us, how much more the God who in the beginning created the stars? But as we prepare for Christmas, this story of the star which led the wise men on their journey has a message for each of us. Think with me afresh of that star, that amazing star which led the wise men to Jesus.
I love looking at the stars on a clear night. These pinpoints of light against the darkness of the sky create a sense of wonder and remind us of the vastness of the universe. I'm sure all of us have had that experience. And to think that throughout human history, these same stars that we see have shone on generation after generation who have lived on this tiny planet Earth, who've lived, who've died, and have been buried, but these stars continue to shine. And they make us question, possibly, the meaning of our own brief existence. There they are, continuing to shine while we live just a few years and then die. So I'm going to read the story of a star. Some of you have heard it many, many times, but I want you to listen with fresh ears and to have an open heart, because this ancient scripture written by Matthew 2,000 years ago has been read by followers of Jesus Christ in their millions, but it comes to us fresh today. Will you listen to it? Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Yes, I think this rather familiar story of the wise men may help us in our own quest for truth. First thing I want to say is to follow the example of the wise men, and that is to follow the light That is, follow the light of God. Follow what God has revealed to us. The wise men certainly followed the star. Now, there's various theories about this star. Some think it was a supernova, a new star violently exploding and giving off light, which could last for some weeks or even possibly months. Some think it was a comet, which the wise men followed. Others have suggested that this star, the Star of Bethlehem, was an unusual alignment of the planets of Saturn and Jupiter and Mars. What we do know is this, that this star guided the wise men. The star, did you notice it, seemed to have appeared, disappeared, and then stopped over the house where Jesus was. God certainly could have used existing stars. He could have ordered the planets a certain way, but this star was a supernatural provision by God. It was God breaking into human history. It was God giving a special revelation to these wise men. And it led them to Jesus. It led them to the light of the world. Now, these wise men, we don't know too much about them. They may have read some of the ancient prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures, which told of the coming Messiah, which told of a king coming, which told of this special person coming, this king, because when they come, they do ask the question, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Not who is going to be born, but who has been born. So these men had received a revelation from God that the King of the Jews, prophesied in the ancient scriptures, had in fact been born, and they had come in search for the king. The Bible tells us they came from the east, that is, east of Israel, east of Jerusalem, possibly coming from what we know as Iran or Iraq or Arabia. And I find it interesting, they say, for we saw his star. That is the star of the king, the star of the King of the Jews. This star was a light given by God to the wise men to guide them. And this is the point, this is the wonderful point of the Christian gospel, a point that we must not miss. The star led the wise men to Jesus, the Savior of the world. The light guided them to the one who is the light of the world. God gave them guidance, and these men were wise enough and humble enough and determined enough to follow the star. And this reminds us of a truth that we have in Scripture, that God guides you to the truth. Here is a promise. If you seek God with all of your heart, he will be found by you. And the wonderful thing is that the wise men, unexpectedly, these are not Jewish people. They are from another culture, another language. Wise men, educated men, probably kind of astrologers, having an interest in truth and seeking the truth. And so they persevere and they discover the truth. Whereas the people who were right there that you would have expected to know the truth fail to come to Jesus. Here is Herod. He's right there in Israel. Here are the religious leaders. Here are the men who know their Bible. Here are the people who know the Old Testament scriptures. And they do not see the star. And sadly, they are not sincere seekers of the truth. Why is that? I think we can all understand. Their hearts and their minds are closed, and they miss the birth of the Savior of the world. The Old Testament scriptures were known to these religious leaders, but they seemed inoculated against the truth. They knew where the Messiah was going to be born. When the question is asked to them, you know the Old Testament scriptures. What do the prophets say regarding the birth of Jesus? They know it. Oh, it's found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. When Jesus is born, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. A prophecy made 700 years before the event. They know the scriptures, but they don't know the Savior. They had information in their minds, but their hearts are closed to the truth. Paralyzed by their own religious traditions, paralyzed by self-interest, paralyzed by pride. Knew the information, but did not act on it. And isn't it astonishing? Although they knew where the Messiah was to be born, and although they give the right answer, and although here are wise men asking, where is the King of the Jews going to be? They don't even take the time. They don't take the effort to even check it out. Wouldn't you have thought that even if they were a bit skeptical, they would have said, perhaps we should check this out to see if in fact the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, but they don't. An astonishing example, which can be so true to each one of us, of spiritual blindness, of spiritual paralysis, trapped in our own little tiny world. Are you seeking the truth? I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but I have to ask you, as you seek the truth, there are sometimes obstacles, aren't there? I'm asking you to persevere. And the more you follow the supernatural light which God gives you, the more He will reveal to you. Listen to the prophecy that Jesus quotes. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. I'm asking you to respond to the truth. God reveals it to us, but there must be a personal response. The biblical word for that is faith. It's faith. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, are you a diligent seeker of God, or are you just a dabbler? You're quite prepared to argue about the Christian faith, but you have never taken that step of faith. You say, I have many, many questions. I have many questions. Does God explain everything to us? No, He doesn't. But we take that step, follow the light, and trust in this great God. Embrace the truth. Embrace Christ. Don't close your heart and your mind. Because notice what the wise men do. They come and they worship the Savior. They follow the light. But now there's the act of faith when they see the baby Jesus who's now in the house. What do? The scripture says, I read it, they fell down and worshiped Him. Could you imagine what Mary and Joseph thought about these wise men from a different culture, looking possibly very different from them, came into their little home in Bethlehem and worshiped Jesus. You see, the star led them not to a religion, but to Jesus. And the Christian faith is often misunderstood. When people think of the Christian faith, they think of church, they think of ritual, they think of liturgy. But at the center of the Christian faith is the person of Jesus. And I'm asking you, do you know Him? Have you come to Him? For some people, that's a relatively easy journey. For others, it's very difficult. On that first Christmas night, the shepherds were in the fields of Bethlehem, very close to the manger, and they ran and came quite easily to Jesus. The wise men, on the other hand, took a long time. They required the constant guidance of the star as they followed it step by step until eventually they come to the Savior. What about you? How's your search been? Has it been a difficult one? You say, what's important in my search? Perseverance. But here's a key, humility. Humility. What did the wise men do? They fell down before the Lord. And isn't that part of our problem? Pride. I'm going to do my own thing. I've been taught this, but I'm going to reject that. Of course, I can't really replace it with something, and my life is pretty miserable, but no, I'm going to go my own way. Well, you can go your own way, but why not be like the wise men? Follow the light. Worship the Savior. Bow down. You say, why would I bow down to the Lord Jesus? Well, because of who he is. He's God incarnate. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And that little baby grows up and to be a perfect man. Yes, perfect, totally different from us in that all of us have sinned, all of us have messed up. He is sinless. He is different from all of us. And this is why he is uniquely qualified to die on the cross for your sins, to pay the penalty for your sins, and demonstrates that he's God by literally, bodily, yes, being raised from the dead and is alive, and calls on us to bow and to open our hearts and to receive the Savior. Follow the light, worship the Savior, and live for him. What did the wise men do? Not only did they bow down, they gave their best. They were Gentiles, they were outsiders, as it were, but they were all in. This was not a casual matter. They present to the Lord their very best, gold for a king, frankincense, incense, myrrh, perfume used for embalming, perhaps in anticipation of the death of Jesus for our sins. You see, when we take seriously what it means to follow Jesus, we must be all in. That Jesus is not someone on the periphery of life. Jesus is not like an old friend that we call from time to time when we're feeling a bit lonely or when we need help. No, he must be central. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to present ourselves as living sacrifices, and this begins by receiving Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. He's worthy of the very best. He is Lord of all. He himself says, seek first the kingdom of God. That is to be the first thing. My first priority is to seek God, is to seek the kingdom of God, this God who made me, this God who's put me on this planet for a certain purpose, this God with whom I'm going to spend all of eternity. I must be all in. I must seek first the kingdom of God. This must be my top priority. On the day the Savior was born, many said, no room. No room for him in the inn, but no room in their life. Let's push him out. Do you feel that? You're too busy. Your life's too crowded. Your life's too exciting. You don't have time for Jesus, really. Perhaps occasionally, but he's not central. What are you saying to Jesus? Don't be indifferent like the religious leaders. Perhaps you're like Herod and you're even hostile. In some ways, you resent it. You're here tonight, but you really don't want to be. You have a resentment against Jesus. Why is that? You see, Herod knew that this one then was born king of the Jews, and he thought he was the king. And he didn't really want an encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, what are we to do? We're to thank Christ, not only for his birth, his sinless life, his atoning sacrifice, his glorious resurrection. To follow the light, to worship the Savior, to have Christ at the very center of their lives, to live for him. This is believing in Jesus Christ, not just in our head, but in our heart. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I have to ask you, where are you on your spiritual journey? I love to ask people that question as I meet them. Where are you on your spiritual journey? Do you know the most common answer I've got? Do you know the answer I hear the most? I'm working on it. I'm trying to do better. That's why I say to my dental hygienist when she gives me that little lecture about flossing. And she kind of waves her little finger at me and reminds me that I'm back at elementary school. And I say, well, I'm trying to do better. I'm working on it. If you give that kind of answer to the spiritual question, where are you? Can I say this very directly but kindly? You need to hear this, that there is a fatal flaw in your answer. It's not a matter of working on it. It's not a matter of a process, because the wonder, the incredible wonder of the Christian gospel is this, that Jesus Christ has done it all. He's done the work. And you can never, ever, ever work your way to God. You can't work your way to the stars. You can't get right with God. He comes to us and he dies on the cross for our sins. You see, the work is done. You have to receive it. You have to believe this. You have to put your wholehearted trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess that you've messed up, that you can't save yourself, and ask him for mercy and salvation. And the wonder is, if you do that, he will save you, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, not works for him, but believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you like to put your trust in Christ? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Saying these words can't save you, but if they reflect where you are tonight, if God has got your attention, and you say, what I've heard is truly the truth, and I've resisted it, or I've not understood it, but now I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus Christ, will you just bow your head and in your heart pray this with me? Let's keep this moment silent and pray with me. Lord Jesus, I admit that I've sinned against God and have gone my own way. I repent of my sin, of my self-centeredness. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and paying the penalty of my sins on the cross. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you rose from the dead, that you're alive. I now trust you as my Savior and open the door of my heart to you. Come in, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me. Save me. I call on your name for mercy and salvation. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and his message titled The Star. John will be right back with his closing remarks in just a moment, so stay with us. With all the frustration and confusion and division in our world today, many people are struggling to find peace and security. Questions about sin, salvation, judgment, right and wrong, and why it all matters seem to be mounting all around us, and we need to be clear on what God says. That's why John just wrote a new booklet titled Eternal Security: Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn a bit of his personal testimony as he carefully examines Scripture to give us a better understanding of what it means to be saved and answer some very real questions you may have about doubt and faith. This new booklet is completely free by mail or download. Request your copy today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Before we close, we invite you to play a part this Christmas in sharing these biblical messages each day. Your generous contributions will help us give the gift of God's Word to new listeners around the world. You can donate whatever amount God leads you to give by visiting our website today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And don't forget to download and subscribe to our daily podcast. We're on your favorite podcast app, so just search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and get these messages delivered automatically each week. Now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? May God supernaturally lead you to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. I trust you're a genuine seeker like these wise men. You may have questions, but I ask that you come in humility and understand who Jesus is. Receive him as your Savior, worship him, live for him, and join me for our Christmas Eve program tomorrow as we think of our incomparable Savior. There is none like him, nor will there ever be anyone like him.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.